Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
My sermon this morning is on empowering the next generation. Okay? So our core value for this Sunday is we love the next generation enough to empower them to fulfill all that God has for them, right? This is part of the DNA series that we have that we're going through, that we've been going through for quite a long time since I've gotten here, since before I got here, right? So we as a church, as the body of Christ, we must raise up the next generation from infants to college. Right, we have to be able to raise them up. We have to be able to teach them the principles and the things that we believe, the things that we stand on, and why we stand on them. Right, we can't just say that that's why we do what we do, but we have to explain it. Right, kids are sometimes more understanding than we actually believe. And if we want to be able to fulfill the mission, the legacy, and the heritage that God has placed for us, that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross and he rose again, what he left for us to do, right, to be able to go and make disciples of all nations, if we're going to do that, we've got to impact the next generation, right? Or the call that God has for all of us to do, for the good news to be able to reach everyone in the entire world, it will not happen if we do not impact the next generation. It will not happen in our lifetime. It will not happen in my lifetime. It will not happen. We together as a church must be able to do this. We've got to be able to fulfill this mission that God has placed in our lap. We are plan A and there is no plan B. We are the church and we're the ones that he has called, the ones that he has given this mission to be able to do for him. Right? Because he has given us so much. He has given us so much. Right? This generation, this next generation needs to be discipled. They need to be truly discipled. They need to know what it means to be a Christian. They need to know what it means to be a part of the church. If they just come here on a Sunday morning, right, or to youth group on a Wednesday, right, or to kids' church on Sunday mornings or on Wednesdays, if they just come to those and they never get involved, if they never do anything beyond these four walls, if we never give them something more, then nothing will ever happen. They'll never take charge of this church. Everything that we've built, everything that people have built since before I was born, right? Even back home, we'll never see the light of day. Eventually, it'll crumble and fall and it'll go to ashes. And everything that we've fought for, everything that we've done, will have to be rebuilt, right? Jesus Christ laid us the foundation. Let's read the word this morning, Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 21. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to see this happen, church. I want to see this happen. I want to see this continue to happen. Right? It happened right that day in Acts. Right? Peter he's telling this. He's telling this to the crowd who thinks everyone is just drunk when they're speaking in tongues. Right? But I want to see my kids. I want to see your kids. I want to see the young adults in this room have the power of God filled in them to be able to fulfill the call of God on their life. And I love them enough to do it. Trust me. I'm willing to be able to get up at 3 a.m. for my kids when they wake up, or 1:30 in the morning like they did this morning. Right? I'll do it. I'll stay up for 2-3 hours. That's fine. Why? Because they need it. And I understand that. And I'll do it for any one of your kids here. If they need me, you can call me. Trust me. I will answer the phone most likely if I hear it. Okay? Unless I'm too tired. All right? And I've already been up for the last 3 nights with my own kids. But God wants to pour out his Holy Spirit upon his church. And his church is not just those who are as old as me or older than me and those who are out of college. His church is the kids. His church is the youth. They are the young adults. They are much of part of this church as I am. Right? So how do we as a church raise up the next generation so God can use them? right? There's a few things that we can do together. And I want to share those with you that God has put on my heart this morning. And one is by being a family-oriented church, right? It's about the family, right? It's the family. The family is the ones that come through those doors that we need to be able to impact your families, right? Whether you're a grandma, a grandpa, an aunt, an uncle, a niece, or a nephew, right? A sibling, whatever it is. You can have an impact. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 15 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that we may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You may ask me, "Pastor Zach, what does this have to do with being a family-oriented church?" And I'll tell you this morning, you need to share your story with your family. You need to share your testimony of the things that God has done in your life, because it will make a difference. No matter how young, no matter how old they are, trust me, it'll make a difference. And I know it will, because I never knew my parents' story. I never knew my mom's. I never knew my stepdad's story. I never knew either of them. It's pretty hard as a kid when you don't understand your own parents and why they do what they do, right? Or your grandparents of why they do what they do and how they were raised, until you hear that story for yourself, right? I love hearing stories. I've loved my grandpa's stories. But as a junior, it's pretty hard to hear, right? As a junior, when I'm already set in my ways and I'm already where I'm at, and my mom decides to share with me that just 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when I was little, that she was dealing drugs to be able to try and support us, right? That she had a gun to her, pointed at her head. I didn't know those things. I didn't know what my mom had been through. I didn't know what she was doing. Now, those are hard things to admit. I know that. They can be really hard to admit sometimes to your own kids, right? That you believe you're not doing the best for them. But my mom really tried to give us the best that she always could. And she was actually able to get out of that life. And she was alive that day after that. And she decided to change her life around because she realized the hole that she was in. People need to be able to hear that story. How can we disciple our families, right? It's by sharing the greatness of God. Paul shares his experience of how Christ changed his life on the Damascus Road and blinded him, right? Who here has ever been blinded? Okay, maybe by a light, right? But I've never been blinded by Jesus Christ before, okay? That's pretty incredible, right? He does an amazing thing to transform Saul to Paul. My grandpa, Chris Nearpass, he was a huge influence on my life, and he told me this story one time about 8-9 years ago about how he was so in tune with the Lord and how he wanted to get back to that. He wanted to get back to that point. And so what happened is he was getting ready for work one morning, okay? So this happened, yeah. He told me the story 8-9 years ago, but this was probably about 5-6 years ago after that, 15 years ago from this point. And he got ready for work, and he's driving, and he hears the Lord tell him, "I want you to take this other road instead." And it was a longer way to work than he would normally take. And he's like, okay. So he takes that road. So he goes right instead of continuing to go straight. And as he's heading down the road, he sees a man and a woman and a little boy, okay, walking down the road. It's summertime. It's probably about May or June. And the Lord tells him, "I want you to pull over and I want you to go pray for them." Okay? So he pulls over and he starts talking to them, and he shares Jesus with them, and they let him pray with him. Right? They let him pray with them. And so he does, and as he's praying, he hears the Lord tell him, "I want you to give them $60. He's like, "I don't have any money. Jesus, I don't have any money. This ain't gonna work." So he pulls out his wallet. There's nothing there. And he reaches into his other pocket that he doesn't normally use, and he pulls out $60. Okay? Right? So he goes home, and he tells my grandma what happened, and she says, So she listens to the story and everything that happens, and she said, "While you were showering this morning, the Lord told me to put $60 in your pocket." They were so in tune together with how they chose to live their lives. My grandma and grandpa still to this day, when they can, my grandpa's almost 80. Now he'll be 80 this year, I believe in July. And he doesn't get around as well as he used to, but he probably can still beat me in an arm wrestling contest. He can. He's got this old man strength, I tell you. It's just crazy. But ever since I was little, whenever I spent the night over at their house, they would wake up at like 5 a.m., take the dogs out because they had like four dogs, and they would also pray and read the word together every morning. I remember being very little, even when my dad was in jail, spending the night at their house and them doing that, being faithful even up to when I was into college, even up to this day, as long as they can, if they're physically able to, they will do it. They are faithful. They are faithful. They aren't perfect. My grandpa can be a little crazy. He can be a little stubborn, okay, right? He one time thought someone during church service stole his iPad, okay? So he confronted them, found out it wasn't his, okay, and then found out he left it in the bathroom, okay? My grandpa's not afraid to confront people, but sometimes he is wrong and he will apologize. And that's my grandpa. That's who I've gotten to be able to learn from over the years. And he's given me so many stories. I've got so many more in my back pocket that I can pull out at any time that I remember. I remember these. Why? Because they're stories. They're true. They're what God's done in my family's life, and I love it. And I will never forget them. That's right. So we must not hide away what God has done in our lives. We can't hide it away. Not as families, not as uncles, not as grandmas or grandpas, anything. If God's done it in your life, share it. Share it. It's good. It's good, right? Why not? Why wouldn't we share it? My point number two this morning is we must give them an enjoyable experience in the church, right? They need to have an enjoyable experience when they walk through these doors. Whether it be for kids' church, for Royal Rangers, for youth group, for church on Sunday morning, no matter how old they are, whether they're infants, through college, through seniors, it doesn't matter. Anyone who steps through that door, right, needs to be able to feel the love of God. They need to be able to have an enjoyable experience here. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Right? There's a difference between disciple, right, and discipline and rules and restrictions that we have. Right? I've got two kids and they don't always listen. Okay? I've got two boys. Okay? Benaiah can't hardly hear, okay? He's got some fluid in his ears that we've got to fix. So he doesn't always hear the first time anyways, okay? Nor does he always understand what I'm meaning when I mean you cannot open the oven and climb in it. That is not okay, right? And then he gets upset and he cries, right? But I'm trying to keep him safe. Everything we do here at the church should be to be able to keep people safe, to give them peace, to give them joy, to give them comfort and the love of God. So we're gonna kind of illustrate this morning. I don't know if you guys noticed my little table over here. Sam, can you come up here, please, for me? Kylia, would you come up? Would you be willing to come up? Yes. All right. Go ahead and both have a seat, okay? So, Kylia, you personally, okay? All right, I want you to build something, okay? Build something with these Legos. Can you do that? Sam, I'm sorry, you don't get anything, okay? You just sit right there and watch Kylia, okay? Can you just watch? Just watch, okay? All right. Make it look like you're having fun, okay? All right. Thank you. So so we have Kylia over here, and she's building something, okay? So as to illustrate this, right, maybe she's helping build a foundation of the church, right, through prayer, through the Word of God, through helping out on kids' church and all these different things, okay? Right? She's doing all these things. But Sam only gets to watch. This isn't fun for Sam. I can see it in his eyes. He's not enjoying this. He likes Legos. Okay? Right? So, Sam, well, these are all little men. These aren't even Legos. It's not helpful. Chose the wrong batch. All right, I'm going to give you like 3 or 4 Legos. That's all you get. That's all you get to use, okay? That's, now build something and have fun, okay? You get like 4 or 5 Legos, okay? That's still not fun, right? That's not much of anything. Sam here is not going to be able to build the same thing as Kylea is. It's not going to be to the same scale. It's not going to be as good. It's not going to be as pretty. It's not going to be much of anything, really, okay? He can't build much with just 4 Legos, okay? Right now, but if I say you guys have to share equally, right? We don't get build guns in church, okay? All right. So go ahead, build something else. You guys can build together, work together, right? She's building and it looks like a nice little home here, okay? Now, if they work together and they put their minds together, their talents together, they can build something amazing. They can build something great, especially if you've got instructions, right? And you've got all the pieces. You can build the Millennium Falcon, right? Sorry, I like Star Wars, okay? So now they're working together, and they can get it done twice as fast, right? So Kylea at first had all the resources. She had all the good stuff, and he had a little bit of nothing, right? He had a little bit of stand that could put Legos on it, but that was about it, okay? You guys can go sit down. Thank you. Thank you. Can you guys give them a hand, please? So we as a body of Christ must engage the next generation and bring them in on what we are doing as a church, right? Some of the greatest things that I've ever learned is by helping those who already know what they're doing, right? Another story with my grandpa is when I was, I believe it was the summer of my senior year, okay? And he asked me to help him on a job. My grandpa was a construction worker, an iron worker. He's done a lot of different things. He's built bridges. He's helped build foundations for nuclear plants. He's done a crazy amount of things. And we had to go fix a pipe at an apartment complex. It was an older apartment complex, had really bad. It was a plumbing pipe that we had to fix because it had broke underground. So we had to dig. We digged for like 2 days. Took forever. Okay. Again, I'm in high school. I'm a wrestler. I'm a cross-country wrestler, right? I do it all. And he's still stronger than me and whipping me. You know, this is just what he does all day, okay? And in the midst of it, right, so by the third day, we had to shovel rocks, okay? I don't know how many of you have ever had to shovel rocks in your life, but it's not fun, okay? Having to shovel rocks out of a bed of a truck, about 2 yards of rocks, right, into a wheelbarrow, and then wheel it over to where you need it to, and then dump it, okay? We spent about half a day doing that. And then I spent about 2 hours raking rocks. I had to rake rocks. Who rakes rocks? Right? But here's the other thing. There's a method to the madness. Okay? There's a specific way to be able to help you rake rocks to make it easier. I didn't learn that until about a half an hour in. Okay? And my grandpa finally comes over. He's like, no, let me show you how to do it. Right? Because he's still shoveling more rocks. And he's like, here, you can rake rocks. I can tell you're getting tired. So I'm raking rocks. This is the craziest thing I've ever had to do in my life, is rake rocks, okay? But there's a way to be able to do it. There's a way to be able to properly replace the pipe and to be able to guide my grandpa, who's got the backhoe, who's digging into the ground, right? So that way he doesn't hit the pipe, right? I wasn't very good at it. He hit the pipe. We had to replace the whole thing, okay? It was old anyways, so as my grandpa said. But he didn't get mad at me when I messed up, right? He didn't get mad at me when I was raking the rocks wrong or when I was slower at him than being able to shovel the rocks. He understood that I was in a different place than he was. He understood I didn't have the experience that he had. So he taught me that. He taught me how to be able to do those things. Right? To this day, I can replace a water heater if I wanted to. I know how to empty the tank and replace and put in a new one. I can do that. I did that with my stepdad. He was a plumber. Great uncle owned a plumbing and electrical business, right? My grandpa is now an inspector, So if you want to be able to build something in a certain area and you need an inspector to come, he's the one who shows up at your house. My grandpa can do a lot of things, and he's taught me so much. So we've got to be able to bring the youth in on what we're doing, on the young people and what we're doing as a church, right? So if there's a ministry that you're involved in, if there's a ministry that you help with or lead with, ask them. Ask them to help get involved, maybe once a month, right? It doesn't have to be every single week, right? But maybe just once a month where they can learn and they can share the love of God that's been poured into their own lives so they can help give it out, right? Because if they're only sitting here in a church service and if they're only getting fed and fed and fed and fed and it never goes out, then they're just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, right? And then they're not going to know how to share it. They're only going to know how to hoard it. They're not going to know how to share the love of Christ if we don't show them how to share the love of Christ. That's our job. We have to be able to show them that. And my grandpa really was able to show me that. So my grandpa, another story about my grandpa. Again, he's had a very big impact on my life, okay? So this church, this youth group does fine arts, right? We do fine arts. Can I give a woot for fine arts, Sam? Woo! Right? Yeah. I love fine arts. So we started doing fine arts back at the church in Michigan. And my grandpa, who is, right, he's getting up there to 80, and he drove us, okay, because he has a CDL. He drove us. I was helping lead the trip. And while we're there, the first time we get there, the first night, we have several students who have to participate, who have to go. And it's the rap category, right? So we've got three kids who rap. So we've got three sessions of rap and then also a duo of rap, okay, where they're going to rap together. All right? That's pretty dope. I enjoyed it, right? I enjoyed it. I like rap, okay? My grandpa is not a rap listener, okay? He's not a rap listener. He doesn't listen to rap, okay? He's more of like a country, right, Devil's in the Phone Book type song. I remember listening to that on the cassette tape in his truck, okay? And some of you are laughing because you know the song. And now it's stuck in your head for the rest of the day. You're welcome. But as he drove us, he decided to sit in on what we were doing. He could have stayed in the bus or gone and sat out in the hallway or drove somewhere else and did whatever he wanted to. But he chose not to. He chose to come in and sit in on what we were doing. And he listened, right, and bobbed his head to these people who were rapping, these young people who were rapping, and he enjoyed himself, right? If you go, there's a picture of it. One of the parents posted it. That's my grandpa there at the bottom right, okay? If you go to the next slide for me, this is a comment from one of the parents who said, "Loved that their bus driver, Bro Nearpass, was singing right along as he was sitting behind me." Right? So he's sitting behind one of the parents. He's singing along. He doesn't even know the words to these rap songs, right? Because these are songs that these kids have to write themselves, right? But they're talking about the glory of God. They're talking about what God's done in their life and how much they love their city and how much they want God to change their city. And that's what they're singing about. That's what they're rapping about. And my grandpa encouraged them. As each one got done, my grandpa got up and said, "You did a great job," and shook their hand, right? My grandpa continues to show me day after day, time after time, that he loves people no matter what they're doing. As long as it honors and glorifies God, then he's going to be a part of it, right? Even if he can't directly rap, then he'll cheer you on. He'll cheer you on while he does it. And that's something as a church we need to be able to do. Here's my last point for you. This is probably my favorite point out of the whole message that I got into, was the next generation needs to experience the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit needs to impact our young people from infants all the way up to college. They need to be able to experience the power and the glory of God in their own life for themselves, right? They need to know that the Holy Spirit is not just for them, but that it is for every single person. That it is for them now. It's not for the biblical times. It's not for just those who have been saved for 10 plus years and know the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit is for them today to impact their schools, their community, and everything that they do in their lives. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7 says, "While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' They answered, 'No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.'" What? So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. I love this. I love this. Paul is not saying that John's baptism of repentance is wrong. It is correct. It is true, right? Our young people need to accept the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ that he has given us, but they also need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one, right, when we're reading the Word at home, right, who points out different things that you would not normally understand, and he helps you understand it on a different level that impacts your life to change how you see the world, change how you see God. And we can't do that without the Holy Spirit. He's the one who reveals the Scriptures to us and what they're truly saying to us. There's only one real legacy we need to leave behind, and that is a legacy that is made by the Holy Spirit. He's the one who empowers us. He's the one who strengthens us and gives us everything that we need. I read a post the other day from a friend who used to be in a master's commission, helped out with Seven Project, where they would go and do school assemblies and get kids to be able to hear a great message at a school assembly and then invite them back to a church for a couple days later and have this giant youth rally that we used to be a part of. His name was Henry. And this is something that he wrote, and I wanted to be able to share with you this morning because it's so true, and it's so prevalent in the day and age that we live in, right? And there's only one place that we're going to be able to get this satisfaction from, and here's what he says. This is, how is it that we live in a generation we are told that everyone and everything should be accepted, yet no one is finding worth in anything? A generation that says we should love everyone for who they are, yet they can't love themselves. I find it interesting that we live in a generation where you can be, say, and do just about anything you want, but we live in a generation that deals with the highest rates of depression and anxiety. How is that possible that in a generation you can be whatever you want if all of a sudden you want to say that you're, to be honest, you're a woman or you're a man now, right, and be able to change who you are from day to day, right? Or say that you now classify yourself as, you know, a 12-year-old girl so that way you can get out of crimes. But yet there's no worth. Nobody has any worth anymore. Nobody doesn't know what they're worth. They don't know their value. They don't know how much they're loved. They don't know how to love themselves. And it's so difficult, but there's only one place that it can be found, and it's said so perfectly in the Word, and I use it all the time. It's Acts 4, verse 12. It says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And that is Jesus Christ. There's no other name that can save us. There's no other name that can deliver us from ourselves, from sin, from death, from everything that's going to happen in this life. There's only one who can deliver us. We're about to end here. Here's my final verse for you guys today is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 through 58. And it says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Only together can we love and empower the next generation through the Holy Spirit. Together, as a church. Only then can we impact this next generation. Can we empower them to do what God has for them? And I want to see it done, people. I want to see it done. That's why I'm here, because I want to see it done, because I believe it can be done. Because I believe you're already starting to do it, but I want to do more. I want to do more than what we're doing now. I want to help more than we're helping now. I want to see this community changed for the power of God, for his love.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.